Draft podcast, the first episode of the Daft on Draft podcast that we have recorded without a football game to look forward to. Both college football and the NFL now done after the whatever you want to call what that Super Bowl was, the belt to ass Super Bowl.
It was the Kendrick Lamar halftime show Super Bowl.
Yes, that's what it was. The Kendrick Lamar to Drake game that this was. I don't know how to start other than saying I don't know. I didn't anticipate this game being 34-0 at one point.
Well, that's, I mean, it's very much like the Kendrick and Drake beef, you know, very one-sided from start to finish. One team was clearly more prepared for the moment, was about that action, and the other team wasn't built for the moment, which is crazy to say for a team who has won the last two Super Bowls before this one, but it goes to show a lot of things. But I think the biggest thing that it showed was if you can legitimately somehow, even for one season, create a roster that legitimately does not have a single hole, it's going to be really tough to lose games once that roster starts to gel midway through the year. Because after the bye, there's no questioning who the best team in the NFL was. Even with, and I know people love Jalen Hurts, the person, and I understand that. The leader, the person that he is, the like unwavering zero emotion at all times from him. He's an incredibly flawed quarterback. And it doesn't matter because he brings enough around an environment that is as suited for success as any I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think the Ringer went through it. It's like all you need is A.J. Brown, who is a legit number one, Devontae Smith, who was a freaking Heisman Trophy winner, the best offensive line in the NFL, the best defensive line in the NFL. You need to absolutely smack on your last two cornerbacks that you drafted. You have one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL, and a lot of people wanted to poo-poo on him because it didn't work in Miami. I think that was a cultural issue.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people don't want to bring up when it comes to the, like these football teams, and the Dallas Cowboys are very much like that too. Maybe something about the warm weather, toughness, or like ability to be tough, coached tough. Like the Cowboys are a country club. Like that's just the way that Frisco is ran with Jerry Jones. And I think that it brings forth a lot of cultural issues when it comes to when things get tough. And then that is the real kicker with Philly. Philly is as blue collar as it gets. Philly is as grinded at. It is the home of Rocky freaking Balboa.
Yep.
And that's not a fictional fucking character in Philadelphia. So everything was perfect on that team. And I don't understand why we couldn't see that. Not maybe 34-0 at one point was going to be the outcome. But that this was the best team in the NFL. And I think we were just hoping that Patrick Mahomes would be able to scrape something up and make this a competitive game.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm looking at now is, like, they could very easily run this thing back. They sit with $18 million in cap space. Some veterans who, like, are obvious cap casualties who are going to create more. And they have very few pending free agents. Mekhi Becton, Milton Williams, Zach Bond, Josh Sweat. Isaiah Rogers started a lot in the nickel. Those are the only ones. Brandon Graham's
retired. Those are big names. Those are big names. Zach Bond was one of the best linebackers in the NFL.
Yes.
Insanely, all of a sudden, after the Saints couldn't figure him out.
But if you look at the way the Eagles structure their contracts, their owner loves to pay out in the form of bonuses. So they're going to be all these small cap hits in at least year one.
Yeah.
And like, what's Mekhi Becton?
They're going to lose. They're going to lose Milton Williams.
Milton Williams. But that's another thing is like, they have hit on just about every draft pick over the past 2 years.
Yeah. And they're going to extend Jordan Davis too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
outside of the Bryce Huff signing, which is very devastating to their books because he doesn't play at all and they gave him $20 million a year. Yeah. I mean, they've been flawless over the past 2 years, but you lose Milt Williams. Moro Ojimo is playing phenomenally in a rotational role for them. Mm-hmm. Thomas Booker, they claimed Byron Young off of waivers when the Raiders cut him. Jalix Hunt is awesome. Like they've got these guys that can play. So I think they'll prioritize Bond. I think Sweat's probably gone too.
Yeah. And who the hell can't play beside Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis? Like,
and Nolan Smith really stepped up this year. So Nolan Smith,
especially in the back half of the year, started to play well.
And like James Bradbury, a very obvious cap cut. Like that's going to save some money. Like, so they've got ways to run this thing back,
mm-hmm.
which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying. As for the Chiefs, man, I don't know if you've looked at their depth chart. They've got some work to do.
Yeah. I just want to – mock drafts are just going to be left tackle, right tackle, left tackle, right tackle, left tackle.
They probably should be.
Juwan has not been good for them.
And Kingsley Suamataia was not good for them either. A massive liability.
Which really stinks because I like Kingsley coming out of BYU. I thought he was going to be good.
But I think Wanya Morris can start at right tackle for them. I think that's probably their plan. And they might – somebody told me that they've been practicing Kingsley at right guard with Trey Smith likely getting paid somewhere else.
I mean, that might be a possibility. I would like to find a spot for him. They need a left tackle, man. And maybe you get one in this class at 31. But, God, is that guy going to be able to play right away? That's the problem.
I mean, at 31, you're probably like, is Josh Connerly going to be on the board? Like, that's your best case scenario, right? Armand Membo or
yeah, but the insane thing is like they've tried to go with that athletic type at offensive tackle, but it hasn't really worked out for them. Like, you would think somebody who with drop depth inconsistencies the way that Patrick Mahomes plays, you would like an athletic guy who has mirroring ability, recoverability, and be able to wash guys out with their length and athleticism. But they were best when they had a guy out on the left side who was 370 pounds and could barely move.
Yeah.
Orlando Brown. So it's, and then, I mean, can't even get into their wide receiver depth chart. I mean,
are you singing Ariante Ursary music potentially there? Oh, he's athletic, but he's 6'6", 330.
Yeah.
Or Donovan Jackson.
Much work to do.
He does. Donovan Jackson would be a fun fit, maybe.
Yeah, Donovan Jackson would be a fun fit because then they would have two left guards that they could think about playing at left tackle. I think Tooney, obviously, you want at guard.
Yeah.
And you would have Jackson at left tackle. But yeah, 36-inch arms, fantastic athlete. Or 35-inch arms, but like he hasn't played tackle since high school, really. I mean, he did in the back half of this season. But like, is he gonna be able to that's the problem, is this is a team. Are they gonna go through a soft rebuild? Does Andy Reid want to do that? Like, you're not gonna rebuild hard because Patrick Mahomes is still gonna win you 10 games a year.
Right.
So you're still not going to be in great draft positions anyways. It's going to be super interesting to see what happens with this team moving forward, because it's not even like Mahomes is absolutely destroying their cap yet.
No. It's going to happen soon, though.
Yes. So it's going to be really interesting to see where Brett Veach goes. Yeah. I think he's one of the best as well when it comes to general managers and roster building. But they have ignored wide receiver for a while, and they drafted Xavier Worthy, and Worthy had what 150 in this past game. Yeah. None of it mattered.
Obviously. Garbage time, yeah. But I mean, he did what he needed to do. Yeah.
But if we can get him into the role where we thought that he could be in next season, and get Rashee Rice back as well, like, but
they need. He hasn't proven to be something you can bet on to be on the field.
No, they need help. So, but I think the biggest thing that we learned is that to go up against the Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Josh Allen's of the world, mm-hmm. you have to be able to get pressure with four, and you have to be able to drop seven in coverage. That's it. That's it. Look at the San Francisco 49ers defenses over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Rush with four, almost never blitz, and have guys survive on the back end. I mean, we're talking about like Ambry Thomas. Yep. Charvarius Ward went and was outrageous for them. And a lot of it comes down to they just don't have to cover guys for all that long, and they have a ton of help because they have seven guys in coverage. Mm-hmm. If you're able to produce with four. And that's why I had this conversation with Jeff Risden today quickly on Blue Sky. That's why the Lions don't have to worry about the Vikings. Because for as awesome as Brian Flores is, he's sending five and six all of the time. Mm-hmm. And Jared Goff is going to absolutely decimate the blitz. And really, really good quarterbacks are able to absolutely decimate the blitz. You feast off of bad quarterbacks when you blitz. You can beat good quarterbacks if you can get pressure with four. And that's exactly what Philadelphia does. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they have always prioritize their offensive line.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm interested. I mean, Lane Johnson's not retiring. He said he wants to play what, five more years? Is that what he said the other day?
Well, have you seen his contract? I think he's got to play three or four more years.
He's a freak. Yes. And we keep saying every year, man, they might need to draft Lane's replacement. He just keeps playing lights out year after year after year.
He's insane.
Yeah, Jeff Stoutland, dude, there's nobody like him in the NFL right now. Another very large
team. Bill Callahan's.
Well, yeah,
Bill Callahan is. But he's not Jeff Stoutland.
No. The Mekhi Becton thing just continues to blow my mind. That he was completely broken. He didn't want to play football. Like, New York was ready to cast him off, and I think he was ready to quit, too, in New York. And he comes to Philadelphia. They take a shot on him. They stick him at right guard, and he develops under Jeff Stoutland into a very capable guard.
Isn't that just kind of the New York Jets and Giants story?
Yeah.
Jamal
Adams kind of the same way.
What's wrong with those organizations? I mean, other than ownership, but like Saquon as well. Like, and we knew Saquon was outrageous, but. Sam Darnold wasn't great in Carolina either, but he went to Carolina, he went to San Francisco, he's finally like playing decently well mm-hmm. in Minnesota. Guys just go to New York to die. Mm-hmm. It ended Aaron Rodgers' career. Mm-hmm. That and the ayahuasca, probably.
Being an overall dick can tend to do that too.
Yeah, for sure. But no, I mean, it goes to show what can happen when you have consistently tinkered with the formula of roster building over the past 15 years. Because we all remember that the first dream team, the original dream team in Philly, and how that crashed and burned mm-hmm. with Howie. And how Howie has built this thing back and figured it out. And then have also put together phenomenal coaching staffs. And say what the hell you want about Nick Sirianni and what he might be. He is the perfect head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect personality, and he surrounds himself mm-hmm. with outstanding position coaches
yep.
and coordinators.
Mm-hmm. He sure does. So, like, is there anything else we want to add about the Super Bowl? What we can take away? I said this off air. I'm going to say it on air. Jalen Hurts clearly is further ahead, was further ahead in 2020 than Jalen Milroe is this year. But if you can, I'm kind of talking myself out of it because this is literally the perfect example of roster building. And I don't know if it can be replicated. But like, there's a part of me that thinks like, if you have a quarterback that you have conviction about, like a Jalen Milroe, like a Jalen Hurts, Milroe a toolsier, less of a developed passer than Hurts, and you can put pieces around him to complement what he actually does well, though. Like, I'm starting to think that, like, I mean, Patrick Mahomes has played in 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls, so I'm not going to go all the way out on, like, you need an elite quarterback to win, but, like, build around your quarterback. And I think to an extent, like the Ravens have started to do that with Lamar Jackson a little bit. Yes. I still think they need a dominant one. But Patrick Mahomes has been superhuman, and now we're still starting to see the cracks, though. Like, well, Patrick Mahomes can't over. I mean, he played in the Super Bowl again. I get it. Like, we're starting to split hairs a little bit. But like, he played in the Super Bowl against a really good defensive line, and his offensive line was in shambles against a really good secondary, and they don't have a dominant wide receiver one. Guess what? Philadelphia has. They know that Jalen Hurts can throw along the boundary really well and throw a deep ball really well. So they went out and they got the best deep ball receiver in the NFL. You could not convince me there's a better 9-ball receiver in the NFL than A.J. Brown. He just bullies defensive backs. He will stack you and then not even think twice about it. Like, they complimented him that way. They said, you know what, we need to take some load off of Jalen Hurts here. So they went out and they paid a running back, which is that was the changeup for Howie, because Howie's never paid a running back.
Yeah.
So, but it turned into the offensive player of the year and took a massive response.
Because let's be 100% real here. Jalen Hurts was not good this year in the regular season. He was not good. Not good. He was a liability for that offense a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because of his surroundings.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, he's good enough. Mm-hmm.
So you surround Jalen Milroe with some athletic tackles. You surround Jalen Milroe with, this is where it's different. Like, based on the quarterback, you surround Jalen Milroe with a yak monster kind of receiver, mm-hmm. like a safety valve who can create after the catch. I mean, Jalen Milroe's got a pretty decent deep ball though too. Like that's part of his game a little bit. Like, so can you do that? And can you get the most out of a second, third round quarterback? Again, banking on that is really foolish, I think.
Yeah, I
think the Eagles took Jalen Hurts because they wanted a safety valve in case Carson Wentz crashed out, and Carson Wentz crashed out. So like, they didn't draft Jalen Hurts to be the future. They drafted Jalen Hurts because they wanted a break in case
insurance.
Of emergency. Yeah, they wanted insurance. So that's different. Like, no team should be going into the NFL draft saying, do you know what? We're going to wait until the second round and draft Jalen Milroe because we think we can build around. And I think that's a big difference in this conversation, but it does buy me a little bit more leniency. Like, if a team does draft Jalen Milroe, like that they can make it's possible to make it work. It's possible to make it work. I felt like I talked myself out of that more than I talked myself into it.
So where are some teams with like aging veterans that might be able to give a little bit of a runway for somebody like Jalen Milroe?
I think Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle's one.
Seattle's one, but Geno's what, 32? Like, God, guys are playing until they're
last year of his contract, now. Though.
Yeah, last year of his contract.
He's 34.
Oh, is he 34?
He is 34.
I mean, Dak, I hate to say it, like, mm-hmm. but with all the injuries, Tua, with all of the injuries.
It's Matt Stafford in Los Angeles.
Stafford might be gone anyways.
He might be gone anyway, yeah. Or whatever team trades for Matthew Stafford, then mm-hmm. draft him as insurance as well. Like, mm-hmm. so I think there are fits out there.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Which that, if you are Chris Ballard,
doubling down,
bank,
on that,
double
that
down, bank, go from Anthony Richardson to Jalen Milroe, that would be a move to make.
It would be incredible.
I think Tennessee, they have the number one pick though, but like, I think they're probably a likely landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. Like, if they want to take a generational talent, like, and they do draft Abdul Carter and sign Aaron Rodgers, like, I think Tennessee is probably a team that could take him, come back at the beginning of second round and take him. beginning of third round. If he falls further than maybe we think he is, I still think somebody's going to take him in the second round, though. And the guy runs a 4.40. You know,
yeah, he was legitimately awful in the back half of the year.
I mean, he was. He very much was. That's all to say that there are handfuls of teams out there that are in a situation where they could draft an insurance quarterback like Jalen Milroe.
Plus, and we've talked about this before as well, there is upside to get him on the field immediately because he's such a playmaker. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you should get him on the field. He should have packages to get him on the field because he is so explosive with the ball. But that's it. That's all I got.
I think it's all I got, too. Maybe the last thing I have here is I think I applaud Howie Roseman's willingness to double down on one position. He saw a massive void at last year, and he drafted two corners with his first two picks, and they're both hella good football players. Mm-hmm. I don't think teams should be opposed, especially a position like wide receiver, a position like corner, where like you are playing three or four of them every single week. You need more than two.
Yes.
You need more than two. So especially
you need more than three
defensive tackles, edge rushers, kind of the same things. You are rotating eight defensive linemen every single week. Yes. So you need more than four defensive linemen on your roster that can play.
Yes.
So, and I think that's kind of what we've seen with Howie as well. Like he's doubled down on Georgia defensive tackles in the first round, which take the best player on the board. But even like he he's hit on day three picks. Mora Ojemo, huge hit. Jalix Hunt was a third round pick. So like, that's not necessarily, but like he's hitting on non-top 64 picks. And so that allows him to extend the life of his roster because he can extend guys.
Milton Williams.
Yeah. Milton Williams, another, third round pick. He can extend a guy like Zach Bond. He can extend a guy like Mekhi Becton because he has so many guys playing significant snaps on rookie contracts. Mm-hmm. It's, again, outside of the Bryce Huff signing, which that looks pretty bad for a guy who was inactive during the Super Bowl, could be making $20 million. But they also have a coaching staff who's not going to play somebody based on how much money they make, though. So I also applaud that. Philadelphia, I picked them to win because the talent parity was way closer than it was the first time they played. Yeah. And they almost beat them that time. So, I picked them to win, but I did not see that.
Not see that
happening.
Domination. But
yeah. So that's our conversation about the Super Bowl and what kind of lessons we can take from it from both an NFL roster building, NFL draft perspective. It was mostly just us rambling for 23 minutes. So if this wasn't your favorite episode, I'm sorry. If it was, then there you go. We're going to get back into some running backs tomorrow. We might do a mock. Maybe this feels like a good week to do a mock draft.
Definitely.
A post Super Bowl mock draft. So we'll do a mock draft on Thursday, Friday then and round out the week here. But until next time, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft Podcast.